Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Pariva Chakacharja Astotra Sata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Sri Sri Radha Kunja Bihari Ji Ki Jai Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai Sri Sri Jagannath Paladev Lady Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai Shri Palad Nisringa Bhagavan Ki Jai Lakshmi Nisringa Deva Ki Jai Natai Gopremanandi. Glories to the assembled devotees, glories to the assembled devotees, glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Before we begin class, I have a question. Let's see who knows the answer to the question. Okay? The question is, what is the difference between the people in the spiritual world and the people in the material world? That's the question. There's many answers, but there's one answer I'm looking for. What's the difference between the residents of the spiritual world and the residents of the material world? There's a hand way in the back there.
Ovi u duhovnom svijetu uvijek misle na Krišnu, a u materijalnom svijetu misle na druge stvari.
Very good.
Vrlo dobro.
You have got it perfectly right.
Savršeno točno ste odgovorili.
The residents in the spiritual world are always thinking about, as Prabhupada, the residents of the spiritual world are always attracted to Krishna, and the residents of the material world are not attracted to Krishna. That is the difference. Welcome to the material world. Please don't stay. Try to leave. Very good. Okay. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prestaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyatya De Satarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we have some more handouts. There was three different handouts. One was Bhaktivinoda Kaur's Bhajana Rahasya, which has the verses, and along with the chart on eradication of anarthas, and another sheet that has the listing of the different anarthas, somewhat similar, and then we have the listing of the 20 demons and what each demon represents. Anybody need any of these sheets? Just raise your hand.
Treći list je bio sa demonima koje je Krišna ubio i također su bile navedene anarte koji svaki pojedini demon predstavlja.
So this is the final seminar on this subject. Removing the anarthas, Krishna killing the demons of
Vrindavan.
And I'll do just a little bit of a, what we call, in America we use a slang word, recap. Recap means to go over what we went over, and to go over the essential principles.
Kao da razgledamo ukratko ono o čemu smo već govorili.
So bhakti is a science.
Bhakti je znanost.
It's a science of awakening our natural love for Krishna.
Naše prirodne ljubavi prema Krišni.
And in that science there are different stages.
Ta znanost ima različite stadije.
Those stages are nine in number.
Ima ih devet.
And they're on one of the sheets, which is the Anuvaritap, you'll see the verse, Adau Stradha Tatau Saru Sangha Tatau Bhajana Kriya Tatau Narta Nivritisha Tatau Nishtaruchis Tatau Ata Shaktis Tatau Bhava Tatau Prema Bhun Bhun Danchiti Sarakama Mayam Prema Pradubhave Bhavit Kramaha. Translation by Srila Rupa Goswami. In the beginning there must be faith. Then one becomes interested in associating with pure devotees. Thereafter one is initiated by a spiritual master and executes the regulative principles under his orders. Thus one is freed from all unwanted habits and becomes firmly fixed in devotional service. Thereafter one develops taste and attachment. This is the way of sadhana bhakti. The execution of devotional service according to the regulative principles. Gradually emotions intensify and finally there is a waking of all love. This is the gradual development of love of God for a devotee interested in Krishna consciousness. From Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Srila Rupa Goswami. So one of the stages is Anartha Nivritti. It's the fourth stage, the stage where by working under the guidance of a spiritual master, gradually the anarthas go. Anarthas are, what are they? They're obstacles. There are attachments, there are desires that are material. They are also contaminations in sinful ways. There are misunderstandings of truth based on lack of spiritual knowledge. Devotees sometimes question, well, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and I'm associating with devotees, and I'm doing devotional service, but I don't feel happy, it's so difficult, I'm trying my best. Why? Well, because the anarthas are there. That's the reason. There's blocks, and these things have to be removed. They're being removed as we chant, as we associate, as we engage in devotional service. But there are some anarthas that are very strong in our life, and there's others where they can be easily removed. Sometimes between one devotee and another, one will have a very difficult anartha, and for another devotee, that same anartha might be quite easy to remove. But until 75% of the anarthas are removed, one cannot be steady in one's spiritual practice. It's hard because the anarthas pull us away towards material activities, material consciousness. So therefore the process of bhakti is like that. Now even after the stage of Anartha Nivritti, 25% of the anarthas can still remain. And the category of offenses, which are four in number, the anarthas can also stay all the way up to the platform of love of God. One can still commit offense on the platform of love of God. That's how hard it is to get out of the offenses. Offenses are the most dangerous of all the anarthas and the most hard one to remove. Because even a pure devotee can commit offense. It's possible. It's not likely, but it is possible. So we have to be very. And the purpose of this seminar is to let us know what the anarthas are, so we know what we have to work on. We know what's blocking. It's important to understand where I am at. One should know what my level of practice is and what is my next step in my spiritual life. And that's not so easy. Many times the devotees don't know really where they are and what their next step in their spiritual practice is.
ponekad gdje jesu i što trebaju učiniti sljedećem životu.
To study this chart
proučavati
ovu tabelu, to also understand my level of practice and where I need to go from here. What do I have to work on? What do I have to emphasize in terms of removing the anarthas? The emphasis is always on hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, associating with devotees, taking only Krishna prasadam, and in practicing the process. But still, if one is not, what we say, aware of what the anarthas are, then the process can be very slow. And it's, ignorance is no excuse either, because Prabhupada has written so many books, there are so many other acharyas who have given us the understanding. So it's our duty to know the science and practice it properly. Just like when you go to school and you want to get a diploma in a particular field, you have to really study the subject matter thoroughly, especially if you're going to be a practitioner of a particular profession or a particular, you know, art. You are required to know the subject matter well. For instance, if you're a doctor, if you're going to become a doctor, you really have to know your medicine well. Someone comes to you and you can't treat them, then that's a defect. So therefore, in the area of spirituality, we should have at least some preliminary understanding how the process works and how to get rid of the anarthas. And what are the anarthas? Now, these anarthas, they give rise to the six enemies. What are the six enemies? Lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. These are the six enemies of the conditioned soul. These six enemies exist within our own consciousness, and they exist within the atmosphere of the material energy. And one can be attacked from both inside and outside by these anarthas. These enemies, I mean. Especially in Kali Yuga, where the atmosphere is permeated with sinful life. Sometimes devotees wonder why I have bad thoughts. Sometimes just by being in an area which is somewhat sinful, the energy, or the subtle energy, filters into our consciousness. And we're affected. We're affected by that. So these six things, lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and enviousness, are so strong and so all-pervading. And they are products of the 16 anarthas. Now from these six enemies come the six whips. The whips are, one suffers from illusion. In other words, moha means a type of illusion, the illusion of, illusion of that I am this body. Soka means lamentation, to lament when I don't get something, or lament when I do get something and it doesn't give me happiness, or lament when I get something and I have it and it gives me happiness and then it goes. People lament when they get something and it doesn't make them happy. They lament when they don't get something they try for, and they lament when they have something that they like and they lose it. So this is soka, lamentation. Lamentation, distress, hunger and thirst, old age and death. These are the six whips that are caused by the six enemies, which are caused by the anarthas. So we have to be really aware of these things. Now it says the creeper of devotion can never grow as long as one cannot give up these anarthas. But there's one consolation, and it's a very big consolation, that through the power of Harinam Sankirtan, one can destroy anarthas fast. Lord Chaitanya's movement of chanting and dancing in glorification of the Lord, the Harinam Sankirtan movement, is the fastest and most effective way to crush anarthas into powder and throw them far away. So there's the consolation. Chant the holy names of the Lord. Kirtan, especially kirtan, but kirtan and japa both, and that crushes the illusion, that crushes the anarthas. Otherwise, if it wasn't for the Harisnam Sankirtan moment, we wouldn't have any hope for anything. So this chanting and dancing awakens within the heart happiness, and it destroys these anarthas. So we went over some of the anarthas, and we went over a few: envy, desire, fault finding, offenses to other living entities. But today I like to talk about the most serious of all the offenses, offenses to Vaishnavas. Offenses to the holy name can be destroyed by chanting the holy name. In other words, by increasing the quality of one's chanting, one can overcome the resultant effects or the reactions of chanting offenselessly. Power of the holy name destroys offenses to itself. Offenses that are caused in worshipping the deity can also be destroyed, the effects of those offenses, by chanting the holy names. Offenses to other living entities can be destroyed also by the power of japa. Intense japa, enthusiastic japa, good japa. But offenses to Vaishnavas cannot be destroyed even by japa. And this is a special category. And why? It's because Vaishnavas are very special people. They're very special in the sense that they have come to the right place. And therefore, offending Vaishnavas is like offending Krishna directly. There's no difference. So to avoid offenses to Vaishnavas is something that one should always be very, very aware of. How not to mistreat the Vaishnavas, how to not offend Vaishnavas. Therefore, devotees should always remain in a position of the mood of service. That is really the key to overcoming the possibility of committing offenses. If we're always in the mood of serving, then that allows that tendency for, what we say, even accidental offenses to be reduced, what to speak of conscious offenses. Lord Chaitanya, he's very strict on this principle. Lord Chaitanya is very, very lenient. He's most magnanimous. There's no kinder and more magnanimous and very accessible forms of mercy that the Lord has given out other than Lord Chaitanya. He's so merciful and so kind. But one thing he cannot tolerate is offenses to Vaishnavas. And he says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's written that those who are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra but are committing offenses to devotees, my name, he's speaking in the position of Krishna, he says, my name becomes the force which drives them out, drives them away. As they chant my name, that name becomes the form, the means by which they're driven out of the association of devotees. Pretty heavy, huh? Because the name is Krishna, and if one is offending Vaishnavas, then the name itself works in such a way as to remove that person from the association of Vaishnavas. Sometimes devotees think, well, you know, I can make more advancement when I don't associate with Vaishnavas because it's too difficult or I'm committing too many offenses. That's actually Maya dictating to them that, you know, because you've committed offenses, therefore you can't associate with devotees. So Maya gives us the rationalization that it's better not to associate, therefore I can make more advancement. So you rationalize in a very logical way that it's better not to associate, whereas as association is the foundation for all success in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have to accept association, but we also have to understand how to associate. Now, there's three categories of living entities, or we might say there are persons who are considered to be superior, there are persons who are considered to be equals, and there's persons who are considered to be in a lesser position. For those who are in a higher position spiritually, what do we do? How do we offer service to them, and we hear from them. That's the general tendency. For those who are equal, we make friendship, share Krishna consciousness together. And for those in a lesser position, we show compassion and kindness and give them an opportunity to come up in Krishna consciousness. And this is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 8, verse number 34. It's also explained again in 3rd Canto, Chapter 29, verse 17. And again in the 11th chapter, the same principles are given, how to associate or how to, you know, to serve various persons on different levels. So as long as we maintain, and in the verse, it's explained, the verse 4834 explains that, by practicing this understanding of how to relate to various categories, one becomes free from all material suffering. There's no more material suffering. Prabhupada writes it in the purport, and he mentions it twice, actually. That it's so important to learn how to associate with Vaishnavas in the mood of service. If we're in a mood of enjoying, then to associate can commit offenses. We always have to be in the mood of service. Krishna consciousness is enjoyable, very enjoyable. It's the most enjoyable thing. There's no higher form of enjoyment. The materialist can't imagine what a devotee is experiencing as far as happiness. Their happiness is simply, you know, a temporary relief from some kind of suffering that they're undergoing. But a devotee is experiencing the presence of Krishna through the process of devotional service. Therefore, a devotee is happy. But if we're trying to enjoy rather than trying to serve, then that enjoying spirit will cause us to commit offenses. Will cause us to commit offenses. That's just the way it is. Because we see ourselves as the center rather than seeing Krishna and Krishna's devotees as the center. And that's the most important thing. To see myself simply as servant. And that's the highest position in the spiritual world. The highest thing you can be is servant of the servant and the servant. To be a servant is glorious. One time someone said to Prabhupada, oh, you are a great devotee. Prabhupada said, oh, devotee, ah. To be a devotee, that's a very high thing. We use the term quite loosely, but Prabhupada had a different understanding. To be a devotee means to be a servant, really. And to be a servant really means a very exalted position. In the material world, within material society and material consciousness, we see that people who are servants of others, they're considered to be low class. They can't make it on their own, therefore they have to serve others. You know. If a person has a servant, that person, you know, thinks that my servant is, you know, my servant, and that person is thinking that that's my master. And he's lower. He's in a lower position. But the position of servant is so glorious that even the Lord wants to become the servant just to show how glorious the position of servant is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu He took the position of being the servant. We were hearing the other night from Satchinandana Maharaj how when Lord Chaitanya, after he got initiated by Ishwara Puri, he went to Gaya, came back, he was just serving the devotees. He would get their prasadam for them. He would take their clothes and have it washed and fold their clothes and give it to them. He would sometimes carry things for them. Although he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wanted to serve his devotees in a very simple and humble way, just to show, by example, that this is the most glorious position, to be the humble servant of the Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada used to say, you know, servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, and then he stopped and say 100 times. The more you are servant, the higher you are. The more you're a master, using the term in a material way, really from a spiritual position, you're low, really. Because there's only really one master. Ekala Aisha Krishna Asabrita. The only master is Krishna. Everyone is servant. And the more we serve Krishna's servants, the more we become, what we say, pleasing in the eye of Krishna. The Mahaprakash Lila by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think Satchinandana Maharaj was also mentioning that the other night, how Lord Chaitanya, every night in the house of Srivastakur, he would perform Sankirtan. But this one night, he went in there, and Srivastakur had this beautiful altar where he had all these shalagrams. As a grihastha, he was worshipping shalagram shila. And they had there was a throne where all the shilas were. Lord Chaitanya went onto the throne, picked up the shalagrams, put them on his lap, and sat down on the throne and said, "Okay, worship me." He took the position of the Supreme Lord, which was very rare in his lilas in Mahaprabhu, because he wanted to teach by example that one is a servant and not the Lord. But this time, in order to please his devotees, he did that, because the devotees were happy to have the opportunity to worship him as the Lord, which they always wanted to do but could never do because he was always in the mood of servant. And he would get angry if somebody either called him Lord or acted as if he was Lord. He would say, no, I'm not the Lord. He would block his ears. Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. But this time, just to please his devotees, he did that. And then a big worship came. And they offered the arti, and they were singing the Brahma Samhita prayers. And after the arti, they offered him all kinds of boga. And then they bathed him with water from the Ganga. And this was before the prasadam came. They were bathing him. And they were carrying pots from the Ganga all the way up to Srivastakur's house. They made a line of devotees. And they were just filling the pots and passing him. And that's how, and then they were pouring it on Lord Chaitanya. So it was a long line. But there was one lady, an elderly lady, and she was standing in the Ganga, and she was filling the pots and giving it to the devotees. She was way in the back. She was the first one, just filling the pots and give it to him. So Lord Chaitanya, at one point, he noticed her from a distance, and he saw how she was serving so nicely. He said, "Srivas, who is that?" Srivas said, "Well, that's one of my maidservants. Her name is Duki." And we know the word Duki means, well, miserable or suffering. That was her name. She was an elderly lady. Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, Duki! Now we will call her Suki." Gave her a new name. Said, "She is now Suki," which means happy. So he blessed her. Why? He was so pleased to see her service. She wasn't like trying to get into the front and get all the nectar. She was just in the back doing her humble service. That's all. And it's like that. Through our service, our humble service to the devotees, we're recognized by Krishna. That's how we're recognized by Krishna. Prabhupada's personal servant, Shruti Kirti. Wonderful story. Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan in 1972. It was a Vyasa Puja ceremony. And it was devotees came from all over America to see Prabhupada. And it was crowded. Now, Shruti Kirti was a brahmachari, and he was living in New Vrindavan. And so when all the devotees came, he was asked to stay in the kitchen and cook for the devotees. And so for 3 days, the festival went on, and all he did was stay in the kitchen for the whole three days. He never got the association of Prabhupada. He didn't go to any of the functions. He just was serving and through cooking for 3 days. When Prabhupada was just about to leave, he came to the leader of the community, who was Kirtananda Swami at the time. And he said, "I need a personal servant. Can you recommend one?" And Kirtananda said, "Oh, yes, there's one very nice brahmachari. He never came. He's simply been serving you and the devotees in the kitchen for 3 days. So here he is." And by his service, he got that position to be Prabhupada's personal servant. He never tried to get the service associated with Prabhupada. He just wanted to serve. And so one becomes exalted by service, and one becomes really exalted by serving the devotees. This is the highest principle in one. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Lord Chaitanya said, he said, "I give my full mercy to anyone who chants my holy name and does not offend or find fault with Vaishnavas." There's a term, it's called adosha darshi, one who does not see the faults of others. Adosha darshi. Everyone has faults. Everyone has good qualities. It depends. Prabhupada says there's two insects. There's the bee and the fly. The fly always goes for the dirty places. The places where, you know, there's always bad smells or, you know, something not pleasant. But a bee will always only go for the honey. A bee will always go for the honey. So Prabhupada said devotees should be like bees. We try to go for that. We always try to see the good in everyone. And that's what makes Krishna consciousness so wonderful. You know, when we try to see the good in others, we actually see the good. Because everyone has good quality. But we don't see it when we have this mentality of finding fault. You can't see the good qualities of others because the other mentality is blocking that way. So this is an important principle. And it's the essence of spiritual practice to avoid very carefully not to offend Vaishnavas. What do you do when you offend a Vaishnava? Generally, Vaishnavas don't take offense. Even if a devotee is offended, she never says, "Oh, I'm offended." Devotees are tolerant, devotees are kind, devotees are forgiving. But still, if there's some offense, then the rectification is that one should go to that person and humbly apologize and ask if I can do some service. And usually, I think 99.9% of all the incidents I ever heard, no one said, "Well, you offended me and you're not forgiven." The devotee always forgives. It always forgives. But in some cases it may not be like that. But in any case, that is the only rectification. So one should be very careful not to commit offenses to Vaishnavas. And how do we do that? Well, we're reading about the different stages of bhakti. We read the verse, the nine stages of bhakti, starting with faith, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, and nishtha. Now, in order to come to the platform of Dishta, which means steadiness, one has to cultivate the qualities of the mode of goodness. There are three modes: ignorance, passion, and goodness. Ignorance is the mode of destructiveness. One who acts in the mode of ignorance is destructive to themselves and destructive to others simultaneously. There's nothing good about the mode of ignorance. Hare Krishna. Sounds like somebody has reached nirvana.
Very
well. This is Krishna consciousness. So the mode of ignorance is not like that. It's definitely not like that. The mode of ignorance means that I'm destructive to myself and I'm destructive to others. It's not a good mode. Even in the material world, nobody likes a person in the mode of ignorance. The mode of passion is one is destructive to the, to themselves and may be helpful to others in a material way. It's a selfish mode. The mode of the ignorance is destructive, the mode of passion is selfish. Even creativity is the mode of passion, but sometimes people are motivated by self gain through the activity of creativity, so the mode of passion is somewhat selfish. And passion never really satisfies. Even if people get results in the mode of passion, they're not satisfied because the mode, the results are always temporary. So the mode of passion is a little better, but the mode of goodness is selfless. It's selfless, that one acts for the benefits of the Lord and benefit for others. So that Prabhupada mentions, and Krishna tells Arjuna, be situated in goodness. In other words, act on the platform of the mode of goodness. Cultivate the qualities of the mode of goodness, and then from there one can transcend. It's very difficult and practically impossible to reach the transcendental mode from the mode of passion. There may be some success, but one will fall from that fact. But from the mode of goodness is the mode of Krishna consciousness. And that means cultivating the qualities that are conducive to the mode of goodness, which are humility is the first one. Humility, tolerance, pridelessness, patience, cleanliness, knowledge of truth, practice of truth, simplicity, like that. Equal poised in all circumstances. There's many. There's actually 12 qualities of the mode of goodness that are mentioned in the scriptures. In the Bhagavad Gita, 8 of them are mentioned in the 18th chapter, but actually there's 12. Peacefulness, like that. Detachment from sense objects. So this is where we want to practice Krishna consciousness, on the mode of goodness. Therefore that verse, Lord Chaitanya taught, Trinada Pisani Jaina Dayor Ivasu Hishnuna Amani Nama Manadena Kirtaniya Sadarehi. Lord Chaitanya said, this is the most important principle. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that take this verse and string it on the ornament of the holy name and wear it as your dress. In other words, this is your decoration. A devotee is humble. A devotee humble means to be to know one's position. Humility is simply is not simply only an external feature of one's mood, but it's actually to know my position. And as we were saying before, what is our position? Our position is servant. So a servant is by nature always ready to serve. And therefore humility is the quality that helps us to understand our position as servant. Because if we're proud, we think I should be served rather than I should serve.
Mm-hmm.
Pride is the opposite of that quality. So humility allows one to come to the one's position as understanding myself as servant. Humility, tolerance. In this world, you have to tolerate so much. Sometimes devotees think, I can't tolerate the association of devotees, it's too difficult. And then you have to tolerate the association of non-devotees. And that may even be more difficult. And there's no benefit in that. So tolerance is always a quality. Just like I was talking to one exalted devotee who was in some pain. And when you get pain, what can you do? Sometimes you try everything to relieve the pain and nothing goes, right? So what do? You just tolerate it. What can you do? You can't do anything else. You tried everything and it's still the pain is there, so you just tolerate it. But when you accept your situation as something that is beneficial, then tolerance becomes easy. It's like somebody's disturbing you. You might think, well, why is that person disturbing me? Rather than stop disturbing me. Question yourself why the disturbance is coming and what does it mean to me, rather than think in terms of, well, why is it happening and why it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. And then question how you react to it, whether you become angry, whether you become, you know, you react in the same way, or you just accept it as some opportunity to help us to develop tolerance. And when Krishna sends you situations which forces you to become tolerant, you know what it does? It helps increase the quality of your chanting. Because Lord Chaitanya said that this quality of tolerance really makes our chanting much, much more, what we say, spontaneous when we learn to tolerate. So this tolerance is a very important principle. Humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and of course, respect for others. Sometimes we say, how can I give respect for others? It's difficult. This person's not respectable. Well, maybe on an external feature, yes, but within the heart of that person, devotee, Krishna is there. So Krishna in the heart is what we're respecting, not so much the person, but the, just like when we pay our obeisances to each other, we should see that I'm paying my obeisances to Krishna within that heart of that person, not simply to that person. There's two souls in every body. There's the individual soul and the super soul. So when we pay our obeisances, we're paying our obeisances to two souls, not just one. And we're not paying obeisances to the body. The body is what we see, but the consciousness is what we were actually executing as our offering to that person who is actually a soul within that body. Body, was situated next to Krishna, who was situated within the heart of that person. So, that's what obeisances means. So, these qualities help us to avoid offenses. And faster than anything, offenses to Vaishnavas can destroy one's Krishna consciousness. So, one has to be very careful. We're meant to develop love for devotees, genuine feelings of love. That means that we're willing to do anything for any devotee if that will help that devotee in their Krishna consciousness. That's what a Vaishnava means. Vaishnava means I'm willing to serve anyone if I can help in some way to make a difference in that person's life. That's love. Love is based on service. Love is not simply based on some emotion that I feel, because emotions come and go and they also change. But real love is based on service. I'll give you an example. Shruti Kirti tells a story. how he was traveling with Prabhupada, and they were coming in on one airplane. And the plane landed, and all the devotees were waiting for Prabhupada in the airport. And so it was really a lot of devotees, and it was really emotional. When Prabhupada would come, devotees would really get emotional. They would cry and jump up and down. There would be kirtan. Some people would be rolling on the ground. It was really, really an amazing scene when Prabhupada would come.
I mean,
just to hear, here's Prabhupada. And they would just, devotees would go into some amazing. So this one time when Prabhupada came with Shruti Kirti, this happened in a very powerful way. So later on that day when Prabhupada was situated in his quarters, Shruti Kirti was massaging Prabhupada. Prabhupada would always get a massage around late morning. So Shruti Kirti was remembering all the devotees. And he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you know, I don't have that same feeling towards you as all these other devotees. They have so much love for you. I don't feel like that. And Prabhupada didn't say anything. He remained quiet. Didn't answer the question. And so the massage went on. And we finished. It was quiet. And then Shruti Kirti ran into the kitchen to cook Prabhupada's lunch. Finished the lunch. Brought it into Prabhupada. Prabhupada would always eat prasadam alone unless there were some special guests. And, but generally he would take prasadam by himself. And then when he was done, he would have a little bell. And he would ring his bell. And then his servant would come in and take the plate. So Prabhupada was very quiet. Never didn't say much. So after Shruti Kirti came in and Prabhupada rang the bell, Prabhupada looked at him. He said, do you like your service? And Shruti Kirti Prabhu said, oh yes, Prabhupada, I like my service very much. Prabhupada said, that is love. Said, that is love. He said, you, devotee, they can jump up and down, and that's very nice. But actually, real love means service. That is love. So as we serve Vaishnavas, we develop our own love, both for the Vaishnavas and for Krishna. And that way we can avoid offenses to Vaishnava. It's not that we can serve each and every devotee, but we should be in the mood of serving wherever we are, whether we're in kirtan, or whether we're in taking prasadam, or whether they're doing our day-to-day service. It's always a mood of service, mood of service. And if we want to really enjoy Krishna consciousness, it comes by serving. It doesn't come by trying to enjoy. Again, Krishna consciousness is enjoyable, but it's experienced through the platform of service. So avoiding offenses to the Vaishnavas are easy when we always are in the mood of service. And if somehow we do commit offense, we should be very sorry and apologetic. But there are different kinds. There's six ways to offend a Vaishnava. Would you like to know the six ways? You ready? Okay. Write this down. This is from Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Six ways to offend Vaishnavas. The first one is to kill a Vaishnava. That's obviously offense. I don't think you have problems with that one. I hope not. So that's the most serious. I'm listing him in the order of the most serious. So the most serious one is to kill a Vaishnava. Tirvasa Muni tried to kill Maharaj Ambarish. And Maharaj Ambarish didn't take any retaliation. He simply accepted it as Krishna's mercy, and Krishna came and protected him and destroyed the demon that Tirvasa created. So to kill a Vaishnava is the worst of all offenses. The next one is to blaspheme a Vaishnava. So what is blaspheme? What's the difference between fault-finding and blaspheme? Who knows? What's the difference between finding fault and acting in a mode of blaspheme? Who knows?
Yes.
Huh?
klevetanj, nalaženje grešaka može biti
creating faults in your mind.
Možete u svom umu samo.
Pretty close. Blasphemy means that a person has good qualities, but there's some little flaw there, maybe something, some little mistake or some little thing. And I pick that out and I just broadcast it to everyone. That's what that person is like. So you have all good qualities. I look for something. I try to find something. And when I find something, I make it a broadcast that this is what this person is like. That's blasphemy. So, killing, blasphemy. The third one is to become envious of a Vaishnava. We talked about envy in class. The next one is to become angry with a Vaishnava. The next one down from that is to not give respects to a Vaishnava. If one is supposed to give respects to a Vaishnava and they don't, that's also offense. And the last one is not to become happy upon seeing a Vaishnava. That's the least of all offenses, but if one sees a Vaishnava and doesn't feel happy, that's an offense. Now, think about that one. What do you do? You just can't feel happy automatically sometimes. It just doesn't work. So if one sees a Vaishnava and doesn't feel happy, one can counteract the possibility of committing offense simply by paying obeisances. By paying obeisances, one counteracts the possibility of that offense. Even because feeling happy is something that happens naturally. So these are the six ways that one can offend a Vaishnava. So just be very careful in our association with devotees. Devotees are special. Every devotee is special. Why is every devotee special? Because they're a devotee. Anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness is special. Because that means that person has the intelligence and the mercy to come to the place where they can make a solution to all problems. So one who comes to this movement is special, no matter who they are. When Lord Chaitanya was asked by Gunaraj Khan, Satyaraj Khan asked Lord Chaitanya a question. He said, "My dear Lord, how can you tell who is a Vaishnava?" Lord Chaitanya gave an interesting answer. Anyone who once chants the holy name of Krishna, I consider him a Vaishnava. That was Lord Chaitanya's answer. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So a devotee is special. And therefore, every devotee, every person who comes to this movement, even if they're not practicing perfectly, even if they have so many faults, they're special. Why? Because they've come to the right place. So one cannot commit offenses to anyone. And even people in general, we don't commit offenses to what they speak of Vaishnavas. That's another category of offenses. But more serious, and most serious out of all the offenses, and just like we have the example of Jai and Vijay were in the spiritual world. They were gatekeepers, the four Kumaras who were young children, four-year-old boys, but they were incarnations of the quality of transcendental knowledge. They were fully in transcendental knowledge, although they had Brahman realization and not Bhagavan realization. They were just moving through the gates of Vaikuntha. And when they got to the last gate, the seventh gate, they were stopped by these two persons, Jai and Vijay. They blocked their way. And they became angry, and they cursed them. And then the Lord actually came on the scene. And it said when the Lord found out what was happening, Garuda was right next to
Garuda
him.
Je bio odmah kraj njega.
He didn't even take help of to Garuda. He could have jumped on Garuda to get there. But he just went by his own energy. He just left Garuda and went. He was so eager to hear, to get to the situation and straighten it out. And he did. And of course, these two gatekeepers, the Lord said, anyone who is my servant, if they commit offense, then I am responsible, so you should punish me, not them. The Lord said that to the four Kumaras. Of course, the four Kumaras couldn't accept that. But Jaya and Vijaya actually committed an offense, and they were in the spiritual world. They committed them. And therefore, they were forced to fall to the material world and take up bodies as demons. Because there's many other points to that story which are interesting. But the principal point is that they actually committed offense, although they were still there in Vaikuntha, which is very rare. So offenses to the Vaishnavas, even great souls can do that. There was one great soul, I think his name was Rupa. What was his name? He was a great soul. He was a preacher. He would travel, give lectures, and preach and give wonderful classes. But he had this little pride that he had about his own knowledge. So one day there was one lady sitting in his lecture. She was actually a very chaste and very devoted lady. And while he was talking, she was chanting japa. Now he saw her, and he's thinking, why is she chanting japa when I'm speaking? She should be listening to my class. And he became angry at her. And he actually spoke to her in an angry way. And she just apologized. Later he fell down. He fell down because she was such a great soul, and she was just so immersed in the holy name that she was always chanting the holy name, even when she was going to classes. He couldn't recognize her good qualities. He was thinking she was just causing a disturbance by not paying attention to my class. And he mistakenly understood her mentality, and he actually fell down from his position and actually got a very heavy reaction. It's a beautiful story. But all the details I'm not remembering at this point now. But that's how subtle offenses can work, you know. So one has to be very careful to commit, not to commit offenses to Vaishnavas. Even if there is some reason why a Vaishnava is acting in the wrong way, still one should try to understand the situation clearly and deal with it in a very Krishna conscious way. To deal with devotees in an angry way is offense. To deal with devotees in a, what we say, harsh way is an offense. Devotees are like family. And family means love, affection, service, kindness, concern, like that. And we have to practice that. We have to practice that. Any questions? Vaishnava Aparada. Yes, Mataji.
Služenje bhakta, da li to dolazi, da li to spada u kategoriju dasya?
Service to Vaishnavas comes in the category of padaseva. Yeah.
Pitala sam se, da li ima veze između padasevana i dasya? Mislio sam da služenje Vaishnava, osobna služba Vaishnava, čišćenje, kuhanje, za bhakte, duhovne učitelje. Da li je to nešto u dasya kategoriji? I koja je razlika između padasevana i dasya?
Padasevana means serving the lotus feet. And dasyam is means carrying out orders, instructions. Serving the lotus feet is illustrated by the personification of that was Lakshmi. She served the lotus feet perfectly, so she's considered the best in that category. The category of dasyam was glorified by Hanuman. Hanuman was the best in all categories. So dasyam means to be able to do service under any circumstances. Serving the lotus feet is personal service. So the devotees of the Lord are situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. So when one serves the devotees, they're serving Krishna through Krishna's lotus feet by serving his devotees. So that's how it's understood. It's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter of Prahlad Maharaj. It's 7th canto, 5th chapter, verses 23 and 24. In that two-verse section, Prabhupada explains each of the 9 processes of devotional service. And he goes into each one and shows what type of activities fit into each of the 9 processes. So in Padasevana, he mentions service to Vaishnavas. Service to the devotees is Padasevana. It requires a little more explanation to get a clarification, but we understand devotees are very dear to the Lord and they're situated at the Lord's lotus feet. So by serving the Vaishnavas, you're serving the Lord, and you're serving the Lord's lotus feet by serving the Vaishnavas. As opposed to dasyam, it means just carrying out instructions. That means just carrying out any service. Dasya means any service. Mm-hmm. Service to the lotus feet is more specific. Clear?
Padasevana znači obilaziti tu lasi,
yeah.
Ići u gangu na sveta
yeah.
mjesta.
Yeah.
Takve stvari.
Yeah.
Ali to je služenje lotusovih stopala i onda shvaćam.
Yeah. Yeah, sir. Visiting holy places is also Padasevana. Worshipping Tulsi is also
Padasevana. Direktna služba baktama, duhovnom učitelju, znači kuhanje, pranje, kao ova Mataji, ona je nosila gangu.
One cannot serve the Lord other than serving the Lord through his devotees. You can't serve the Lord directly anyway. So serving the Lord means serving the Lord through his devotees. Not only the spiritual master, the pure devotee, but all devotees. But especially the spiritual master, especially the pure devotees, but all devotees. And Lord Chaitanya shows that the more one serves his devotees, the more one serves the Lord. The more one offends his devotees, the more one offends the Lord. It works the same way. Any other questions? Yes, Mohan.
Listen to what you said. What did you say? Da čisti bakte mogu isto napraviti uvredu. U 11. pjevanju sam čitao, Višnjana Čakravati kaže, ako neki bakta napravi aparat, a napravljen jako, to znači da još uvijek nije čist. Da je bio čist, ne bi napravio.
Well, you have these papers, this chart here.
Imaš.
You didn't get it. That's why. It says that there's 4 categories of anartas. And one of the categories is aparad. Now, the different eradications of the anarthas are at different stages of bhakti. Now, in the stage of in the category of aparad, on bhajana kriya, one anartha is removed.
Otklanja se jedna anartha.
On ništa, many are removed.
Se uklanjaju brojne.
On bhava,
u bhavi,
all of them are removed except one.
Sve su one uklonjene osim
jedne. And on prema,
i u prema, na prema stadium,
pure love, they're all removed.
Sve su uklonjene.
But then there's another category, it's called absolute. That on when one attains the Lord's lotus feet, then they can't return. Because on prema, they're complete. But complete means that they're gone, but they can return. Complete is not, it's complete, all are, but one can again slip back. So even on prema, the offenses can also come back. Only when one reaches the platform of... This is Vishwanath Chakravarti, that course, from Madhurya Kandambini. Only on the platform of attaining the Lord's lotus feet, that means seeing Krishna face to face, one cannot commit offenses. That's how subtle offenses are. So added to four categories of anarthas, just like the two categories of the sinful and pious anarthas, on the platform of ashakti, they're all gone. They're all gone, and they don't return. And on the platform of the quality, the offenses of bhakti, on the platform of ruchi, they're all gone, and they don't return. But offenses are so difficult to remove that even on the platform of prema, they can return.
Haribo.
So... That's the hardest one to get rid of, these offenses.
Jako je teško se riješiti tih uvreda, znači. Ali i nenamjerno se mogu napraviti uvrede.
Yeah, very good example.
To je dobar primjer.
Rupa Goswami was in meditation, and he was in meditating on the pastime. And one ugly sage was happened to walk by. And during his meditation, there was something funny. In the pastime, so he laughed. Now the sage mistakenly thought that he's, why is Rupa Goswami such a great soul? He's laughing at me. He thought that Rupa Goswami was laughing at him, but he wasn't. So he went to Sanatan Goswami and told him. And then Sanatana Goswami approached Rupa Goswami and told him what happened. And Rupa Goswami said, you know, right after that happened, I tried to meditate again and I couldn't get my meditation back. Then he was aware, oh, I had committed an offense. He wasn't even aware of it. So that's how subtle the offenses are. You can accidentally commit offenses. That's why sometimes you see Vaishnavas say, please forgive me if I've committed any offenses knowingly or unknowingly. Like that.
I to je, tako to ide.
So yeah, that's how subtle offenses are.
Tako su samo, tako su suptilne te uvrede.
You have to be careful. I mean, if you do something accidentally, it's not as serious if you do something intentionally. But still, the way bhakti works, that even accidental offenses, you know, have some reaction to some degree.
Do određenog stupnja. Htjela bih pitati, da li možeš razjasniti što znači dostići...
Seeing Krishna face to face.
To znači vidjeti gospodina licem u lice. Ali džaja i vidjaja, kad su napravili uvredu, onda i Krishna odmah došao...
In that case, that was special. Slučaju, but that example has many... That pastime has many meanings.
Ta zabava ima puno značenja.
And one of the meanings is to teach us that,
da nas poduči,
you can commit offenses.
Da možete napraviti uvrede.
Even in the spiritual world. It's not likely. It's only
arranged.
Just like we all say, you know, Tulsi, she also supposedly committed an offense to Radharani. That's why she fell from the spiritual world. And she's taken up the position of, you know, a plant in the spirit, in the material world to give her mercy. But still, the story is that there was some offense. And now the great souls discuss that. How is it possible? Some say it happened, others say it's not possible. So there's even a debate between great souls and whether you can commit offense in the spiritual world or not. But then again, you might say, if we were in the spiritual world, which Prabhupada said we were, how did we get here? So there's some misuse of independence, which is ultimately a deviant consciousness.
Yes.
Nice and loud.
Nije li Prabhupad rekao kada se jednom dođete do
Prabhupad, Bhagavad Gita says that, upon attaining to upon attaining my abode, one does not come back to this world of birth and death. But there's one lecture Prabhupad says that once you go back, you don't come back. But still, the possibility remains that you can come back. But you just don't. But I'm talking about the original fall. When we fall originally, once you leave the spiritual world and you go back, you don't fall again, because it's like you stick your hand in the fire and you become burnt, and then you know the fire burns. So generally, souls fall once. But the possibility still is there. But you just don't do it. Because when you're back to the spiritual moral world, you remember all of your births in the material world. You can remember, you can see all of your births. And that's pretty horrible. I mean, Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Germany to one college, and Prabhupada said the soul has been through all 8 million species of life. Before you come to the human life, you have been in all of the species of life. So imagine that. You think, I was a little cockroach and somebody stepped on me. I was a fly disturbing the devotee and I got smashed. So, you don't think, I'll just go back to the material world again. it's inconceivable to even consider that after coming back to the spiritual. But the fact that we're here shows that we did fall once. Any other questions? Vaishnava Parad.
Vaishnava Parad?
Yes, Vasudev.
Da li bi nam mogao objasniti, ponekad osoba prihvaća odgovornost, misiju, i onda ponekad je jako napeto, i onda se može razljutiti. I ponekad ljudi koji ne rade puno za gospodina, oni neće puno ni uvrijeda raditi.
Not to do much so you don't commit offenses. If you don't associate with Vaishnavas, you can't offend Vaishnavas. That's true too, right? If I don't associate with devotees, I can't offend them, so I'll be free from Vaishnava aparad. That's not the idea. It's like a double-edged sword. There's great benefit in doing service, and there's also great opportunities to make mistakes or commit offenses. That's the way it is. There's great benefit in being in association with devotees. It's the highest benefit, but at the same time, one has to associate carefully and properly. Sometimes we're enthusiastic in our devotional service and we become overwhelmed. And sometimes we do or say things. That's not so serious. Really, what I'm talking about in terms of offenses, when we actually become critical, fault-finding, develop envy, or just become insensitive and harsh towards devotees, that we have to avoid. If we're doing some service and there's a little offense, it's not so serious. When things are done unintentionally. Still, we should try to be careful. Therefore, we always see other devotees not simply in terms of what they can do for me, but what I can do for them. That's the mood. How can I serve? It's like if someone comes up to you and says, Prabhu, Mataji, can you do this for me? You say, oh, well, thank you. Now you do some service. Someone asks you, feel happy, I can do something for you. So we should be in that mood all the time to want to serve. The guru, he's accepting guru service, but he's in a position to act on behalf of Krishna, to give service to those who want to become Krishna conscious. So his service to Krishna is both to the Lord and to those who want to, you know, become Krishna conscious. So if the guru thinks himself to be a guru, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati says, anyone who thinks he's guru, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Swati says, he's guru. Guru means cow. And he writes, one's inner mood should not be overshadowed by one's service. Inner mood is I am servant. When Bhakti Siddhanta was asked, how many disciples you have? He said, I have no disciples, they are all my masters. I learned something from each and every one of them. Here's a Mahapurush who's speaking like that. Another time he was asked, how many disciples you have? He says, I have four. Two arms and two legs. That was another way he answered. These carry out my orders. So here's an example of one who's situated, you know, in a high platform, but he's seeing himself simply as a servant. So what to speak of us? But don't be afraid to take on responsibility, because Prabhupada said responsibility is how you make advancement in spiritual life. By taking on responsibility for the mission, then you actually get the, you can actually access more mercy. So those who take risks on behalf of the spiritual master, although the risks may be an opportunity to commit more offenses, still there's greater opportunity for advancement. So that's what it means to become a devotee. It's not that, oh, I shouldn't do all these things because I can commit offense.
And
then you just remain neophyte. Okay. Any other questions? I see. Oh. Yes.
It's pretty clear that we should respect all the devotees, and you've mentioned that each and every person who comes to Krishna consciousness is special.
Yes, we should see like that.
But we often, not often, but it happens that sometimes mentally disturbed or in that sense, people are also coming to Krishna consciousness, and it happens that they're causing disturbance also to the other people who are coming or might come to a temple.
Hmm.
And
therefore, you have to do what's necessary. But you can't offend the offender.
Aha, znači ne možete uvrijediti vrijeđaoca.
You want to repeat the question and
da,
you're...
Da, ponekad dolaze i... pa dolaze ljudi koji su malo oštećeni isto u hram, mentalno i sada kako, da li njih trebamo ono, prihvatiti kao... Jer drugi ljudi ono, imaju problema s time.
We have to check the wrong behavior.
Moramo zaustaviti ili
and sometimes you have to be a little strong.
I ponekad moramo biti malo
strogi. But you should not take issue. You shouldn't be.
Međutim, ne trebamo.
You should, as it's like saying, you hate what they're doing,
znači,
but you don't hate the person.
Ono što rade, ali ne mrzimo osobu.
What they're doing is not good, and you have to stop
it. Nije u redu,
not only when you stop it, you're
a
doing
kada,
good to them, because to allow
zaustavi,
someone to do something wrong,
dobro jer ako
it's bad for them, and it's bad for
loše
others.
Stvari,
not only for others, but also for them.
Loše, ne samo za
so as a
ljude,
service to them,
same.
You have
znači,
to stop them.
Za njih, vi ih trebate spriječiti.
But you don't do it, you don't hate them, you just see that this is their... their problem. That's
to je problem koji oni imaju.
That's what we have to take action like that,
znači,
to protect others and to protect them.
Da bismo zaštitili drugi, da bismo zaštitili njih također.
Yeah. And that's service to them.
I to je služba.
They may not see it, but it is.
Služba je namijenjena njima, možda oni to neće tako shvatiti, ali tako stvari stoje.
You're actually serving them.
U stvari ih služite.
Any other questions?
Neko drugo pitanje?
Okay. Yes.
Samo one dvije anarte koje predstavljaju demoni koji bio Balaram,
Endeavors.
Za njih se kaže da mi svojim vlastitim naporom trebamo ih ukloniti. A što se tiče ovih ostalih aparada, kaže da će ih Krišna ukloniti. A gdje je tu sad
the
naš
two demons, Denukasura, who represents,
Denukasura,
what is it, the load-carrying burden,
koji predstavlja
gross bodily consciousness, ignorance of oneself as a spirit soul, and palambasura, attachment for the opposite sex for sense gratification, profit, adoration, and distinction. And they explain that these anarthas, one has to consciously be aware of them and work to remove them by one's day-to-day activities, consciousness, as opposed to the other ones where by following the process of devotional service and by purifying one's heart through hearing and chanting, Krishna will remove these anarthas. So there's an extra added consciousness of seeing these anarthas and working on them. Sure, we should do that with all of them, but especially these. And it says, only by the mercy and directions of the spiritual master, who is represented by Sri Balaram, who killed these demons, then one can become successful in overcoming these anarthas. These anarthas are prominent. Desire to enjoy sense gratification in the association of the opposite sex. Desire for profit through my service, becoming adored through my service, some distinction, subtle forms of sex life. One has to be aware of these things and stop them. Whereas if you have a desire for liberation, if you start practicing devotional service and you start becoming happy in devotional service, you don't even want a liberation anymore. It goes away. You don't want mystic power. You don't want liberation. You lose your taste for material objects. It happens by your own spiritual advancement. But these things linger on unless one is consciously aware of them and tries to remove them. Okay. Anything else? I don't see who's next for the seminars. Krishna Kshetra Prabhu. He gave class this morning, I think. Maybe. He's not here yet. Oh, you are. Okay. It's the demigods, the unembodied voice. Coming from the higher realms.
Iz viših predjela.
Okay, so we should allow to
znači sada trebamo dopustiti
the devas to descend and
devama
take over.
Da dođu.
Okay, thank you very much. Oh, one last thing. If you need any of these sheets, there's three, the 20 anarthas, 20 demons, the sheets on the 16 anarthas, the categories, the defenses. There's three more categories of sheets. I think this is the last seminar. Thank you very much. I hope it was helpful. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.